Hello, this is the Corner of Film podcast. I'm Niall from Corner of Film, which is a film website where I write about film. This is episode 2 in a series of mini episodes released fortnightly alongside the longer conversational episodes of the podcast. Once again, I'm flying solo, and I'm bringing some weird Hollywood history this time around. Fair warning, this episode is a little dark in nature. It features some pretty gruesome stories involving deaths, hate crimes, prostitutes, and terminal illness, so if any of those things are likely to bother you, it might be worth sitting this one out. For this episode, I've prepared a few stories of mysterious, weird, and disturbing celebrity deaths from old Hollywood, as well as another story of an apparent cinematic curse. The first of today's victims is Carl Switzer. Switzer is better known as Alfalfa from Our Gang, which itself is better known as the original Little Rascals, a series that started way back in 1922. Switzer was cast in the show in 1934 and soon became its biggest star. He played the role of Alfalfa for a total of 5 years before leaving age 12. As he got older though, the acting jobs dried up and, facing financial hardship, he turned his hand to breeding and training hunting dogs of all things. After a brief marriage and a bitter divorce, Switzer was arrested in December of 1958 for illegally cutting down pine trees in the Sequoia National Forest with the intention of selling them as Christmas trees. He was sentenced to 1 year's probation and ordered to pay a fine of $225, which is roughly equivalent to $2,000 today. You really can't make this up. Strapped for cash and now facing legal troubles, Switzer agreed to train the dog of his longtime friend, Bud Stiltz. That's not his real name. His real name was Moses Stiltz, which is still funny. During its training, though, the dog ran off and Stiltz demanded that Switzer reimburse him for his lost pet. Switzer obviously couldn't afford this, so instead offered a reward for the dog's safe return. It was soon brought to Switzer, who paid out $50 by way of a reward. That would be roughly $450 today. Stiltz wasn't happy about paying the reward for someone else's dog, so went with his friend Jack Piot to visit Stiltz and demand he reimburse the finder's fee. The accounts of what happened next differ quite drastically, but here's what we know. Either Switzer or Piot smashed a glass clock over Stiltz's head, and Stiltz responded by drawing his gun. Switzer and Stiltz wrestled for the gun, and it went off, almost striking Stiltz's stepson, Tom Corrigan. Stiltz maintained that Switzer then pulled a knife, whereas Corrigan, who was present, says that Switzer and Piot attempted to leave at this point. Either way, Stiltz shot Switzer in the groin, damaging an artery, and Switzer died before he could even be taken to hospital. He was 31. Despite their differing accounts, Tom Corrigan was never called to testify, and instead his stepfather did so in his favour. In spite of physical evidence against the claims of self-defence, as well as Stiltz having a previous perjury conviction, it was ruled that the shooting was in self-defence. Years later, Corrigan maintained that his stepfather wasn't acting in self-defence and that Switzer's death should be treated as a murder. As awful as Switzer's death was, he certainly wasn't the first actor to die as a victim of senseless violence. Back in the 1920s, Ramon Navarro was one of the biggest leading men in Hollywood. Promoted by MGM as a Latin lover, whatever that means, Navarro got his start in silent films and went on to play the lead role in 1925 silent epic Ben-Hur. Now, it's important to mention that Navarro was gay, and he struggled with that in direct conflict to his deep-rooted Catholicism. Throughout his career, he was involved with a number of men, but it wasn't until long after he'd faded from the movie scene that his homosexuality led to his death. Navarro was known to have occasionally hired prostitutes, so he wasn't entirely surprised to receive a call from brothers Paul and Thomas Ferguson, aged 22 and 17, offering their sexual services. They told him they'd acquired his number from a previous guest, and so Navarro invited them to his home in Laurel Canyon. It was originally thought that the brothers believed Navarro had a large sum of money hidden in the house, and they proceeded to beat and torture the 69-year-old actor to get him to disclose its location. After several hours, Navarro died of asphyxiation after choking on his own blood. Both men were convicted of the murder, and Paul Ferguson eventually assumed the blame for the death in an interview 30 years later, citing his homophobia as the motive. He maintained that the crime wasn't financially driven, but that his Catholic faith had instilled a deep hatred of homosexuality in him, because that apparently makes more sense. It wasn't about money, it was about hate. One mysterious Hollywood death that we'll probably never learn the truth of was that of George Reeves, widely known as Superman from a number of productions in the 1950s. Reeves was found dead at 2 a.m. on the 16th of June 1959 during a party at his home just days before he was due to be married. He was found with a gunshot wound to the head, which appeared to be self-inflicted, save for one small detail. Reeves' fingerprints weren't on the gun. On further inspection, there was no gunpowder residue on Reeves' hands either, and later investigations uncovered two additional bullets lodged in the floor, as well as bruises of unknown origin on Reeves' head and body. There was also talk of an affair between Reeves and Tony Mannix, wife of MGM's then vice president and known Hollywood fixer, Eddie Mannix, leading to speculation that Mannix had Reeves killed. Despite all of this, Reeves' death was ultimately ruled a suicide. George Reeves' death is one of the most often cited examples of an interesting phenomenon known as the Superman curse. The name is fairly self-explanatory, but the general idea is that the role of Superman is cursed, leading to death or misfortune for anyone involved. Given that the last mini-episode covered both Christ figures in film and cursed productions, it seems only fitting to explore the Superman curse in a little more depth. The first actor to play Superman on screen was Kirk Allen, who took on the role for two serials, 1948's Superman and its 1950 sequel Atom Man vs. Superman. He was cast due to his uncanny resemblance to Clark Kent, but Allen's career all but died after Superman, as, at the time at least, the actor was seen as synonymous with the character. He struggled to find work in the years that followed, was forced to take bit parts and voiceover roles, and he died in obscurity of Alzheimer's in 1999, aged 88. Bud Collier voiced Superman in 1940 radio serial The Adventures of Superman until its end in 1951, although he went uncredited for the first 6 years of its 11-year run. Collier reprised the role for Superman's first animated outing, then returned for another in 1966 called The New Adventures of Superman. 3 years later, he died suddenly of a circulatory ailment, aged 61. Despite Collier's tenure as the voice of Superman for over three decades, he's hardly remembered for the role. Those that do remember Collier almost always cite his work on game shows, Beat the Clock and To Tell the Truth, and not his work as Superman. I've already talked about George Reeves, but he starred as the Man of Steel in 1951's Superman and the Mole Men and went on to reprise his role in a live-action TV series called Adventures of Superman that ran from 1952 to 1958. Afterwards, Reeves struggled to find work that didn't somehow involve the character and openly voiced the opinion that the iconic role had cursed his career. His fiancée also claimed he was depressed over the typecasting, citing it as a potential reason that he might have committed suicide. The actor that most people associate with Superman is Christopher Reeve, and he's without a doubt the highest profile victim of the apparent curse. Reeve played the last son of Krypton in 1978's Superman the Movie, a role that he reprised in all three sequels. Again, Reeve faced typecasting after taking on the role, but he was able to cultivate something of a career afterwards, even if he never quite reached the same heights that being Superman had taken him to. It was on the 27th of May in 1995 that the curse finally struck, when Reeve was thrown from his horse. Reeve suffered a broken neck, leaving him paralysed from the neck down. The injury was attributed by witnesses to the fact that Reeve's hand had become tangled in the reins, giving him no chance to break his own fall, leaving his head to bear the impact. Reeve did spend the following 9 years building a charitable foundation and even made a cameo appearance on Smallville shortly before his death in 2004, which was caused by a reaction to medication. He was only 52 years old. Reeve's wife Dana also died shortly after of lung cancer, aged just 44. Her age, combined with the fact that she'd never smoked, led many to believe that Dana was also a victim of the curse. Strangely, even the actor that starred as Baby Kal-El in the 1978 film seems to be a victim. Lee Quigley, who was an infant when he appeared as Superman's younger self, died of an overdose in 1991 at the age of just 14. It's believed that Quigley turned to drugs after being bullied for his role in the film, although why you would bully someone for being Superman is completely beyond me. Here's where the idea of the curse begins to lose some traction. The next three actors to play the hero simply saw their careers stall in the years that followed. First it was Dean Cain from Lois and Clark, then Tom Welling from Smallville, followed by Brandon Routh from Superman Returns. Both Cain and Routh have since been able to secure regular parts in DC productions, with Cain appearing in Smallville and Supergirl, and Routh appearing across the Arrowverse as the Atom. Welling has instead stepped behind the camera, serving as executive producer on a number of other shows. It's actually been suggested that in these instances, the curse instead targeted co-stars. From Smallville, Kristen Croik and Allison Mack both became involved with high-profile cult Nexium. Croik was able to cut ties with the group early on, but Mack became a high-profile member. It's alleged that she took part in various criminal activities on the group's behalf, such as branding new members and blackmailing them, as well as sex trafficking and racketeering. Mack even pled guilty to the racketeering charges and is currently waiting to be sentenced. Kevin Spacey played Lex Luthor in Superman Returns, and he's now famously embroiled in his own scandal. After claims of sexual misconduct, Spacey's been forced to step out of the limelight as producers, agents, and publicists have all severed ties with the actor. It's easy to brand multiple decades of misfortune as a curse, but I believe it's more a series of interesting coincidences. Many of the so-called victims simply struggled with typecasting and otherwise died relatively uninteresting deaths. Besides, Henry Cavill's gone from strength to strength since being cast in Man of Steel, and the various legal troubles of former Superman-adjacent actors are exclusively down to the individuals in question. That said, there is something unsettling about the idea that one of the most heroic characters in all of pop culture might be somehow cursed, so next time someone shouts, "Is it a bird? Is it a plane?" I dare you to respond with, "No, it's a mysterious death or an impending scandal. Please, just do it for me." That is the end of this week's podcast. As always, thank you so much for listening, and if you aren't already, please go and follow Corner of Film on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can currently catch the podcast on Spotify, Podbean, and YouTube, so make sure you're following or subscribing in all of those places too. I will be back next week with my excellent co-host Jack for another episode, so stay tuned for that. I've been Niall from Corner of Film, and you have been my hero for listening. Again, thank you. Goodbye.